Hello, I'm Craig Constantine. Are you passionate about creating amazing podcasts? Terrific. You are in the right place. Welcome to Pod Talk, short conversations with podcast creators that are not just about podcasting, because I like to take the scenic route. My guest today is Leticia Latino. Welcome. How are you this morning?
Great, Craig. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We know each other indirectly, although I always like to discuss the dots that got connected to lead me to people, but we know each other indirectly from the Akimbo podcasting course, and you've done a ton. Congratulations. Podcasting is lonely, hard work. You've done a ton, 250 that are published. I know you have more that are lined up in the can. It's like clearly somebody who has it processified. I love when I see people loving their work. And the episodes that I listened to, it was clear that you had a guide star, like in your mind, you knew what you're doing, you know why you're doing it. It's just so great to see people having fun with their show. How many years in would that be? Like 5 years into it. So it's really great to see. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a long journey.
And so I mentioned before I hit record, I think my first question that I had was, can you imagine ever stopping at this point?
Well, it's a no, the short answer. But of course, you know, when you're in the middle of it, sometimes you think, I should stop, you know, but no, I really can't. I get great joy from the podcast and inspiring conversations. And, you know, my podcast name is Back to Basics. And sometimes I feel a little bit selfish, because at the end of the taping, I'm like, do I do this for me or for the audience? Because I feel so filled. You know, my day just goes better after even this conversation. We're going to finish. And I said, this was great. Just, I love connecting with people and listening to their journeys.
I agree 100%. I often imagine that what I'm trying to do is make the best, I'm going to jinx it, make the best experience for you. And then because that's what I would do if I was having a conversation with someone in person. You know, you don't like look around like, I hope other people lurking on my conversation enjoy it. So I tried it in the beginning. I used to think, what would the people behind me who can't interact with us, what would they want to know? Or what's the, and then I got stuck in my head, which happens to me. So I'm with you. I love the feeling of, I want to figuratively slap my headphones off my head and go, if this isn't nice, I don't know what is, which is a Kurt Vonnegut quote that I love to get out. So I really love that you point to the joy of doing it, because that's really the only thing that's going to power this, right? This rocket is not fueled by anything other than joy.
Absolutely. And it's everything in life, you know, everything, no matter how much you like doing something, you're going to get to a point where, you know, you're like, oh, I'm tired. Even people that run triathlons and do all these sports, they love it. But sometimes, you know, the practice and waking up every morning is hard. But then when you're done with it, you're really happy you did it.
I'm torn. We could, I always have a million things in my head. I could ask a whole bunch of questions around, ooh, somebody who's done hundreds. Let's ask questions around like, let's start here. When you're thinking about who to invite on the show, I'm guessing even at, you know, I was going to say a quarter of 1,000 episodes. I don't know why.
That sounds good.
It's a different way to think about it, right? So at 250,000 episodes, I'm guessing you're not running out of people to reach out to. And how do you... I'm going to say juggle. I sometimes start to panic because I have all these great people that I want to talk to. And I feel like, if I don't at least say hello to them soon, I'm going to lose the tenuous line that connects me to them. So maybe how do you balance reaching out to people? Because that takes time and effort. And you also don't want to go too fast because you don't want to publish too many episodes and then people can't listen to them. So how do you balance that tension of, I always say, an embarrassment of riches, so many people to talk to against, you really want to kind of try and keep it under control?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think the one thing that has helped me is that I decided I want to publish once a week. So, you know, that already tells me I need to have 4 guests a month. And that's good, because then I know how many I'm shooting for. And at the beginning, a fun fact for any podcasters out there that sometimes fear that they're not going to have guests. You know, I did a few solo episodes and that really did very well, believe it or not. And people say, you should do more of those. And I say, well, the backstory is I didn't have any guests. So I'm like, and I still.
It's Tuesday and I have to push publish.
And I don't want, and you know, and I'm a go-getter. I don't want to not publish. So I was always very strict about I must publish every week. And so I started doing solo episodes. So when you see those, it's because I really didn't have any guests line up. And then magic happened, because the more episodes I did, even when I didn't have guests sometimes, the more I started finding guests easier, you know, and I started, and people started contacting me when I started getting to, you know, more episodes. I get now PR people saying, oh, we love your podcast with this guest. Then people on LinkedIn reaching out to me. And then I'm going to really give a shout out to PodMatch, which, you know, I've been using sporadically when I'm like, I feel I'm in a low of guests, and I go there and I have found incredible guests there. So I do a mix to your question, where I sometimes I feel I need to speed up and I go to some platforms that facilitate those connections. But for the most part, it's really now organically.
I think that's a really good answer. There's a lot. Ooh, there's a lot in there. I haven't ever used PodMatch. I've looked at it. I'll put it in the episode notes for people. I know what you're referring to. And sometimes I worry that this isn't, Craig has a podcasting problem. This isn't my only show. I have a whole other show. Sometimes, especially in the other show, I worry about if I'm picking the same types of people for the guests. And then I go off on this tangent of like, well, what would a different guest be? And I can really get lost in my head trying to imagine exactly what guest to pick. And then sometimes I kind of shake myself and say, no, wait, just go back to the thing, which was like, why are you doing the show? What's the point of the show? And I feel like you've really got that dialed in about bringing people in. Do you feel like you've been able to hold the same like through line, or do you feel like your show has changed? It didn't look like you were really making hard season breaks. Like sometimes we just label them different seasons, but some people take like a 2 month off. It looked to me like you were just, you're on like a long marathon, just on the long haul. Do you feel like, you know, 5 years later, you still feel like you're trying to answer the same question for yourself with the show, or is the show changing?
Well, that's also a good point. And yes, I'm known for running marathons, not really running them, but like consistency. It's something that I've been all my life. So I don't do hard breaks for a season. I just keep publishing. I think, and this is something we discussed when we were doing the podcast fellowship back in the day where we were defining, I think it's very important for anybody out there thinking about a podcast that you design something that is sustainable. Yes. And I think that's something that by, you know, by luck, I did well in terms of my podcast is about what makes people tick. And so that has an answer with every different individual. So every guest has something that makes them tick. Mm. And that makes the show easy, in the sense of it's not about unsolvable mysteries. You know, we have some people, it's like unsolvable, and that will give me panic, because what if you don't have an unsolvable mystery, or you don't know about it and you have to do a lot of research and all these things. Right. The beauty with my podcast is any guest is just a journey in itself. So it hasn't changed much, because each guest, it's its own episode, its own journey, its own challenges. So that's why I enjoy it so much.
I was thinking, I was just in my head, the other episode I'm thinking of is published, so I can talk about it. I try not to talk about things I haven't published yet, because every once in a while something goes wrong. But I just the other day did a conversation with someone that we both know, Alistair Planbeck, who's probably the episode directly before this one. If people scroll back, it should be right in front of this one. And we had this interesting part of our conversation. We were discussing, I'm going to say podcasting introspectively, or like extrospectively, or inward versus outward. And I've done some episodes of shows where something just felt off to me. I'm like, it's good, but I don't feel like, and then when I look at it in hindsight, I'm like, oh, it's because it was focused on me. Like I was trying to work through a question or solve something for myself. I probably should have just not published it. But when I instead am like reaching out and going to people like, hey, I have this question. I'm holding my hands out toward Leticia. Like, I have this question. Does this also interest you? That outward aspect really seems to like charge me up. And I'm getting that same vibe from you that it's really the connection that powers what you're doing. And then you're guiding that connection like molten steel to like, yes, we're going to talk about this thing, or we're going to try and answer this question. if that resonates with you, you're nodding along. Did you do that on purpose, or have you always been like a connector of people, like an outreacher? Is that a word?
Yes. I've always like the one thing people have always told me, and I know it's like I enjoy people, I connect people. My friends, even from high school and elementary school, when I go back home, they say, we only see you when we are here, because I'm the one planning, you know, making everybody see each other. I've always been that person. Sometimes I get upset. I'm like, don't wait for me to plan. You know, you get on that point where I also want somebody else to plan it. But but the truth is I enjoy connecting people. And it's always, it's been a superpower. You know, when people define, think about what are your superpowers here, that probably people would say that's one of my superpowers. So I enjoy using it for the greater good, because to your point, there's been episodes where maybe that haven't resonated with me. By policy, I always publish everything. Mm. There's probably been two episodes in all those that I wouldn't have published if I had the choice. But I say, you know, but that's a message that wanted to come out somehow. In my opinion, didn't come out good, but I'm going to still publish it and let it live there. But I've been surprised that episodes that I thought were not good or didn't have a message that was interesting to me, I've gotten messages and emails for somebody saying, thank you so much. That's exactly what I needed to hear today, and praising the episode. Yes. So it's very humbling. Like, I'm not here to either judge the episodes, see if I like it. I'm here to be a channel and a vessel for that content to be out in the world. Mm-hmm. And then let whomever needs to find it, find it. And that is what I'm about, in essence.
Brilliant. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't get surprised often, but in the times where I've been surprised like that, that's what finally made me go, I'm going to stop judging my work. Not only do I not judge it right, I don't think I'm even capable of judging it. I get the wrong answer. I'm like, that was terrible. This was great. And when I focus instead on why am I doing this? Like, you know, in the moment, then it works out better, because it's just honest. It's just more clear. You were talking about, you actually mentioned superpowers. Sometimes I'll ask people, especially if they're kind of like closed shells, sometimes I'll ask them, if I asked your friends, what would they say your superpower is? And you exactly answered that question. I was like, oh, that's so beautiful, which makes me want to ask, so you are aware that that's your superpower, and you're aware that it's always been your superpower. Have you ever been successful at like passing that gift to other people? Like, to me, that would be like the greatest kind of teacher, is what does Seth say, like to turn a light on for someone else. Like, have you felt like you've been successful at maybe sparking that in some of your guests, or do you always look for guests that already have that spark?
That's a great question. I'm not sure if I've been able to spark that. What I think maybe has happened sometimes is people have seen what the power of connection is through me. Like, through, by remaining connected to others, I've had friends, or somebody says, listen, I have to connect. And now LinkedIn is like, you know, like, oh, you're connected to this person. You're connected to that person. Can you make an introduction? Can you, you know, which I love to do. But I think this is where some people that's not in their nature have seen like, wow, I need to maybe work a little harder at staying connected, because at the end of the day, I am a believer that magic happens when you know what's going on around you. You know, when you don't know, then maybe a great opportunity just passed next to you and you didn't even know about it. And so I try to instill that, of course, in my kids, the power of a good connection, and also the power of networking with heart, you know, never from a place of selfishness, because people, I know when people approach me out of a personal interest or something, I might still help them, but I don't like it, because it's like, I've been here for 30 years, you never connected with me until now. And I think that, you know, that part of just doing it with heart, you know, and even if you're doing it after 30 years, say be open about it. You say, I've been the worst at keeping in touch. I've been but you know, because otherwise it just, I think, has the wrong effect on people.
It's always challenging to me to do the guest outreach. So I don't love doing it. I don't mind it anymore because I've just done it so much. But I do it pretty much every weekday. I spend 10, 15, 20 minutes. I have a big list of names and software that helps me remember, like, whoa, that person hasn't responded. But most of what I do every day is send these cold, like, you know, hey, Leticia, would you like to? And then like a random request all over the place. And at first I felt bad. And now I'm just like, no, most people, if they had ghosted me, it's because it didn't rise above the filter level. It wasn't like they ignored me. It was just, they literally didn't get the message. Gmail threw it in the junk folder or something. Mm-hmm. But the number of times that I have reached out to someone, like the sixth time, like I message them, they say, oh, that's interesting. Get back to me next month. And then I do that and they do that. And like a year goes by, they are invariably delighted that I went to the trouble. Like you were saying about your friends say, thank you so much for making this happen. And then of course you and I are like, yeah, you can do this too. But I use that in my mind as like the energy to do the outreaches. Like people are so grateful when they finally, you know, have the time to, you know, to accept the invitation or to try the thing that you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I have a question there. I probably should have a question.
No, that's good. But to your point, it's also important to remember that what's a priority to us at a certain moment might not be a priority to others. And I think these days, and you reach out to me and we had something in common too, but the way you did it, it wasn't an imposition. It was, hey, this is here. If you're interested, reach out, which is kind of how I do it too. But I noticed that lately, like people are getting like really aggressive into how they reach out into that cold calling or like,
yeah, just, the stuff that I'm getting, it's like, whoa.
It's crazy. And sometimes, you know, I contain myself. I'm like, I want to say, do you really think that's a good strategy? Saying I've written to you 3 times and you haven't responded, but you're writing to me about something that has nothing to do with what I do at all. Yeah. And you haven't even taken the time to highlight in one thing of why I should be interested in this, why I should be interested, not why you are interested in me, you know? And I think people are just not taking the time to find in the synergy. And it's in the way we ask things, you know, that we achieve great things.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's impossible because that's really like a firm, but it's almost impossible to hide your intention. You know, because mm-hmm. if your intention is gimme, 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 something really selfish, how would you hide that? Because if you hit it, you wouldn't get what you want. So like people send you these things and the first sentence is like, you know, hey, Craig, I listened to your podcast. I really like, and they'll drop in a little fact, you know, like that. Oh, they mm-hmm. really did listen to the second last episode. Mm-hmm. You know, they just, but you can tell it's like, yeah, but the people who actually listen to the episode, they don't tell me that. Yeah, they instead ask me a question that shows that we're on parallel thought or something. Yeah. So it's like the check mark, you know, like one can be like, all right, I'm doing this interview with Leticia, right? So I listen to an episode, check. And then I listen to the trailer, check. So that I get a feel for, you know. But I did all that. But it's not useful for me to share that with you. It's like, I did the homework. And then I go, oh, here's what I really want to talk about today. I'm really curious about, could you ever imagine stopping? I don't know. There's just something about that intention that just comes through. It's, I don't want to say you can smell it because that's a weird metaphor.
Yeah. You're right.
I always pause. People who listen to the show know I'm not stuck for something to ask. I get too many ideas. Well, let's go in like a random direction. First of all, I know you've also written a book or multiple books. I didn't do a lot of digging into the books, but
co-author a book.
Yeah. So I'd also like I want you to tell me about the title of the book and put the book information in here, because I think if people are really resonating with the way that you're thinking and the way your show works, I think they'd want to read that too. So tell me about the book while we're here.
Okay. Well, the book is really a co-authorship with other women CEOs in male-dominated industries. So I'm in telecommunications, very male-dominated. So we co-authored this book. We each have a chapter, so it's not the whole book that I wrote. And it's called Women in Business Leading the Way. And it's really about, you know, the each of us personal experiences in dealing with being in a male-dominated industry.
And I brought that up because people listening to this show are probably already running their own podcast. So we all forget how weird we are, because it takes a lot of leadership to do the thing. There's nobody that tells me or tells you, this is what you should do next. This is who should be on the show next. So there's a lot of leadership happening in there. And I kind of wanted to just point to people like, this isn't the only leadership thing that you're doing. There's other things that you do too, even though we're just nerding out over podcasting. Anything else top of mind for you that you want to talk about before I continue? Because otherwise I'll just jabber for the whole
thing. No, you know, I just, well, on the book side, yeah, and leadership, it's something that I always want to make sure that people know that I'm very vocal about diversity and inclusion, but I'm not a feminist whatsoever. Like, I'm very old fashioned. I come from a Sicilian family. I love to cook for my family, that kind of stuff. So I always say I'm an equalitarian. I push for everybody should have equal opportunity. You know, if you go to a job, we shouldn't care about if you're a woman, you're a man, you're you know, black, you're white. We shouldn't even have to answer those questions or even tell people, I hire a woman. You shouldn't even, you know, have to mention that. That's when we're making real progress. So I always disclose it, because when you read the post and all that, maybe because we are, I'm trying to raise awareness of that. But in a sense, I'm also very old fashioned, and I believe that we all have a role to play in life, and it cannot be everybody, you know, plays the same exact role.
Yes, absolutely. More of that. I'm like so many ideas in my head at all times. Do you feel like the next, I kind of want to say the next phase, I hate to talk about COVID just because it's like, but we're definitely on, I would say, on the after, you know, there's definitely the before years, and we're now on the after years, although the virus itself is here to stay and this will be a thing forever. But do you feel like there's been a change? I'm just kind of like wondering about the people that you're getting on the show. Do you feel like there's been a change that you can sense in the energy that they bring to the show? Like in like 2 years ago, people were coming on and talking to me and I got a lot of like, whew, okay, it's nice to be here to talk to you today, because they feel like this is a space that's going to energize them. And now I feel like people are showing up energized. Like I'm feeling like I'm getting guests like yourself, like you showed up and you're just like, what are we doing today? This is going to be great. I'm just wondering if you get a similar read, because you're going through people at a pretty even cadence the whole time. I'm just wondering what it feels like now.
Yeah, I think for me, the pandemic, I actually told the other day to some, someone that I almost feel like I missed the pandemic in terms of the pace. Like you were more introspective. Everything was, you know, that tad slower. I feel now we're back to like full-fledged speed. And so I find that it's hard to stay connected to what makes you tick, to the point of my podcast, when things speed up again. So if anything, during the pandemic, I thought people were very in touch and in tune with that. Even if we were looking like what to do and we felt a little lost.
Yeah, there's uncertainty, right?
Yeah, but when we feel lost, we go inwards. And when you are up, you know, like we are now, everybody's very outwards, you know? And so I think that probably, if anything, I feel that a little bit more struggle with staying connected to that.
And obviously, I'm guessing you're working full time since you're connected from your office today. You definitely have a lot of plates, you know, things that you're juggling between, how did you put it, a momager, a mom manager,
the momager,
yes. A mother, an author, a podcaster, a CEO. So I was really tickled. I'm like, oh, you know, because sometimes I have trouble reaching out to people. Usually if they're getting up there in podcast numbers, and sometimes they're just too busy. So I was pleasantly surprised that you felt you had the time. And now I see why. Now I'm like, oh, you're very intentional about where you allocate your time. Random questions that pop into my head. If you could have a billboard anywhere, this is a Tim Ferriss question, I think, a billboard anywhere in the world with anything on it, what would you put on it?
That's a good one. Probably the title of, not because of promotion to my podcast, but because I really have seen that thinking about what makes us tick, it's a powerful statement. It's a powerful thing. And it just, you can tell people when you ask them the question, there's not that many things. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard nature. I mean, there, I can feel it in my hand. Probably there's five questions. It's family, nature, doing something I love, whatever hobby, you know, one of the hobbies, you know, praying or God or spirituality. It's really a handful. And yet a lot of people don't take the time to do any of those things. So if you know something, maybe it would be a billboard to promote that. Like, when was the last time you reconnected to what makes you tick, or, you know, to make you think about that?
Do you feel like it's so way back, like 15 minutes ago, you mentioned the solo episodes that you did and how at the time you were, I mean, I know jokingly you were like, I had nothing else to publish, but at the time you were like, I'm not so sure about these things, but you published them anyway, you know, for your process. Now when you look back, do you feel like maybe you need to look inward more and do more of those shows? Or do you feel like the fidelity of what you're doing is really clear? Like, you know, every episode, with a few exceptions, that every episode is, you know what you're going to get when you press play. You're going to get two people and this is the journey we're on, the listener and Leticia. But do you feel like maybe you need to spend more time introspectively, since you were just pointing out how important that is? Or do you have other places you do that?
Well, I do have a blog and other places. I sometimes, you know, if I've done like my take on like COVID, I don't like, so when I feel it's important that I have something to say, because anybody that has listened to, and you know, I'm a talker, I like to talk, everybody can see that. But in my podcast, I actually talk very little. I'm like you, my guest runs the show. I just play the questions and I let them share their journey. So I do feel, and I mean, in all humbleness, I do say this, that I've been told you need to do more of your own talking, because we like that too. So I know that I've been told that. So then I put here and there, just almost like when I feel that I have something really important to share.
There's deep wisdom there. I, in the very beginning of my podcasting journey, there was way too much of me in the episodes, and I continue to resist the urge to take the old episodes down. They're still there. It's the work that I did. I'm proud of it. But then I once went to the trouble of taking some of my audio files and dumping them into a transcript service that would give me the percentage of how much people were talking. And I realized that there's actually like a particular number where I felt like that felt pretty good. I feel like there was enough of me there that I told one or two anecdotes. And I, for a while, I was intentionally like aiming for a number, and now I've kind of settled into this. I kind of feel like I know what's enough of me to share, so that if people are like listening along 100, 120, whatever, 140, they're not sick of hearing me yet. But I saw in myself like a swerve to like not be there at all. I didn't literally edit myself out, but it was just sort of like, so my question is, you know, what's your favorite cheese? And the guests are like, what is wrong with you? You know, do more than just throw questions at me. So I'm wondering, the question in my mind is, do you think that that balance of your presence in the show, did you always kind of have that from the get-go because you were always a connector, or did you have to steer that or change it?
I always try to make a balance, and also, I mean, the guest is there for a reason, so I always gave them the spotlight, but I also, you know, want to have a conversation, because my goal was always to have inspired conversations. And so, like you, when I had a great conversation, I said, I wish this person had heard that, and that person had heard that. So I think only one person talking all the time is also boring. And so I do a lot of what we're doing here. Like, we're just exchanging ideas and I ask questions of the ideas. But I do think that it has remained pretty constant, I believe, in terms of how it's handled.
Yeah. There's so much to it. Oh. I really like this. I really like Pod Talk because I know the people listening are also podcasters. Sometimes in other shows, when you don't want to talk about the actual sausage making, I have to like hold all this stuff in. I'm like, no, that's really great. I love it. All this stuff. We can just like put it on the table because people listening are not struggling, but thinking about the same things. What's a question I should have asked you, but didn't? Just thinking of interesting.
I don't know. Probably one of the things in terms of podcasting that I get asked a lot is like, how can you publish every week? Like, how can you not stop?
Oh, and, I know this secret.
And answer
the 25
your prior right? guest has a lot to do with that, because, you know, early on when we were doing the program, I know I'm very busy, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to have time to edit my podcast, there's no way. So I created my little process, and anybody listening, you need to dimension your process in a way that is not a struggle. If you're struggling because you cannot find the guest, you need to find a different way to keep the flow going. And if you are struggling with editing because you never get to edit and another week went by, you need to find an easy way to do it. And there's a lot of people out there that edit, you know, and programs and platforms that are quite affordable to do that. So take some time into designing what process works for you so that you can keep running the marathon. Because if you cut yourself too tight, you're going to stop. Or you're not gonna keep it going. And, you know, we both are Seth Godin fans. And at the end of the day, it's about putting the content out there. It's not about putting perfect content. It's not about, you know, you focus on shipping out. And shipping out, that was the one thing that I've learned from Seth Godin, that is ship out. So that's why I'm very like every Thursday. And so I designed, you know, I tape my episode. It's like a conversation like this. So yes, I'm a CEO, but I can carve out an hour of my time every week or every 2 weeks. It's easy. It's a conversation. I upload it on a server. My editor picks it up from there, edits. And then by the time I have to publish, I invest another 30 minutes, usually on Sundays, to upload the episode. And that's it. So it's very manageable. It's not as time-consuming as people think.
Yeah, the technology is so far along these days.
Amazing.
I agree completely. That's process. I have checklists, and I'm still doing my own bare minimum editing. But yeah, I used to have that exact problem. I would record it, and then I'd be stuck with it for a week, and then I'd be like, wait, what am I doing? Like, what is it that I don't want to do? And then I was like, well, I don't want to do this part. Okay, I'm just going to remove that part. What I was thinking when you mentioned Seth again, I don't know that I've ever said this on mic. I've often thought I should tell podcasters whether or not they did the Seth, the course that Seth and Alex De Palma did. I've often thought I should tell them to read two books. You should read Seth's book, The Practice. The dip is really good, but The Practice is the one that has the, like, the Icarus deception and, like, the ship, S-H-I-P, people listening, ship the work. And the other book is Austin Kleon's Show Your Work. Yes. And I think those two books, I didn't read them in the beginning, but I've read them in various places in my podcasting journey. And those are two books that I wish somebody had handed me like on day one and said, oh, you think you want to be a podcaster? Please read these two books while you're figuring out the tech. Because those are really distilled to this idea that you're rightfully pointing at about, yeah, you got to have a process and you're going to have to ship this stuff. And I know sometimes I get pushback from people, you know, I'm at the point now where people randomly ask me, hey, tell me about podcasting. And I tell them, like, if you process, you got to figure this out. And then they push back because they feel like, oh, I want to be creative and I want to be free and I want to be artistic. And I'm like, yes, the process makes the space where you can do that. Painters don't just leave their painting supplies on the sidewalk and hope they're going to paint. They have an easel and they have whatever it is, they have their process, and that enables you to do the creative work. Now I'm preaching to the choir.
No, it's great. It's good. It's all good stuff, you know, and creating critical mass. I think that's another important thing, creating critical mass where you have enough podcast episodes out there. Forget if they're good, they're bad, whatever. But that shows commitment, that skin in the game, that shows you're serious about it. Maybe you rediscover a different way of podcasting, but at least you put in the work. I think a lot of people think it happens just because, and it doesn't. I don't monetize my podcast at all. That has nothing to do with my job, which is another thing that a lot of people have asked me, like, why do you do it if it has nothing to do with what you do?
Why do people paint? Why do people write? It's a creative outlet. That shows through in your work. So I applaud that. Thank you for putting in the effort. I had a conversation in my other show very early in my podcasting journey, very early in that other show, where this person said to me, he wanted everything to be grassroots. And we were talking about something else, but he wanted there to be like the shoes and the clothes and he wanted everything that was created around this thing we were discussing to be made by people who loved it. So that when the big kids showed up with the money and tried to take the thing, the space was all full of people who were passionate, the people who loved the thing. And every time I talk to people about podcasting, I just keep finding more people who are doing that. They're passionate. They're making the show. So even if I never hear another one of your episodes and nobody listening ever hears one, I still appreciate the fact that you put 250 plus great episodes out and people find those and search engines and transcripts, and you never know who that one episode that we put out there is going to touch. So.
Yeah. And in the audience, I think the other good thought is that the audience is not always going to be the same audience. You know, like, I mean, I love Oprah. I don't listen to every single episode. I go and fetch what I need at the time. And so I think a lot of people get discouraged by seeing, you know, sometimes the numbers and the statistics. And I don't look at them. I don't look at them because I look at the map of where it has been downloaded. And when I see it has been on every single continent, even if it's two people in Africa, I don't care, but it is in Africa, that it's already, you know, encouraging and empowering to for me, because I reach a place that I would have never dreamt about reaching. And that's enough for me, more than I have X amount of unique listeners, you know, or so on.
Yeah, that those degrees of separation when you find something that kind of jumps out of the lanes to others, like, whoa, that one's different. That one's special. Terrific, as I often say. How can people get a hold of you if they want to find out more about you? So tell me where your website is and how people could find more about you.
Sure. Well, my website is www.leticiawithac.com, leticialatino.com, and my podcast name is Back to, with the number two, Back to Basics, Reconnecting to the Essence of You, and it's in all streaming platforms, so you shouldn't have a problem finding it.
I will, of course, do my homework and put all the episode notes together. Leticia Latino, it was my distinct pleasure to get a chance to meet you. It was funny that somebody just said you should talk. And I'm like, I already have that one scheduled. So it's fun, and it was serendipitous. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, I'm a big believer in serendipity, so I'm happy this happened. And I thank you for also for the work you're doing, because it's very inspirational and that you're putting this out. And if I have to say a closing note, is you have the perfect podcasting voice, in my view. If there was something, I'm like, I want to talk like Greg. You have the perfect, soft, smooth voice that obviously I don't have. So I thank you for that. You're a pleasure to listen to.
Thank you. I wouldn't normally say anything after you talk, but thank you so much for saying that. I always say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, because there's nothing I did. That's just what I sound like.
There you go.
But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's great to be here. Bye-bye.